ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 ॐ नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय. So we'll read a few verses from the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita entitled Jnana Yoga. Beginning text 41. The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous people, or into a family of rich aristocracy. Or, if unsuccessful, after a long practice of yoga, he takes his birth in a family of transcendentalists, who are surely great in wisdom. Certainly such a birth is rare in this world. On taking such a birth, he revives the divine consciousness of his previous life, and he again tries to make further progress in order to achieve complete success, O son of Kuru. By virtue of the divine consciousness of his previous life, he automatically becomes attracted to the yogic principles, even without seeking them. Such an inquisitive transcendentalist stands always above the ritualistic principles of the scripture. And when the yogi engages himself with sincere endeavor in making further progress, being washed of all contaminations, then ultimately achieving perfection after many, many births of practice, he achieves the supreme goal. Krishna spoke these words 5,000 years ago in India, and obviously they are as relevant today as they were then, because whatever the Lord speaks is absolute truth. It means it's relevant in the past, it's relevant in the present, it will also be relevant in the future, even 10,000, 20,000, a million years into time. One time Prabhupada asked one of my godbrothers, Bhagavan Das, who was the GBC at that time in Europe, he said, our Bhagavad Gita is very practical. He said, I'd like you to write a book, Spiritual Solutions to Material Problems, based on the Bhagavad Gita. And actually we can see that all the problems that modern man is facing, both in the environment, in the economy, in politics, even down to one's own personal health, the answers to these difficulties are found in the philosophy and the lifestyle of Krishna consciousness. So this knowledge is very relevant. So as Krishna notes that in days of yore and days of past, yogis who were unsuccessful, and Krishna is also referring to devotees, because devotees are also yogis, they're bhakti yogis. They practice the highest form of yoga, giving pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead through their activities. As yogis who were unsuccessful, in other words, who had not completed the course of yoga, be it hatha yoga or jnana yoga or bhakti yoga, had not completed the course because it's not easy to completely purify the heart of all anarthas, all unwanted things. It's not easy to awaken that prema bhakti that is sitting very deep within the heart. It may even take many births. Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sadurlabha, Krishna says, after many, many births, those who are actually acknowledged surrender unto me. So it makes sense that the yogi will take birth again. But by the Lord's arrangement, whatever progress he has made in his previous lives as a transcendentalist, the Lord is very kind. He keeps that progress. And as the Lord states here, he starts off where he left off. If one has advanced 50% in spiritual life, one has advanced 80%, it's guaranteed next life 51%, 81%. And Prabhupada would remark that this process of Krishna consciousness, which is the Yuga Dharma for this age, chanting Hare Krishna, even if one just makes a small step in Krishna consciousness, if he just submissively hears or chants the Maha Mantra or inquires about Krishna consciousness from another, from a devotee by buying a book, or happens even by chance to come to the temple and take prasadam, Prabhupada said on several occasions that guarantee is that his next lifetime he at least gets a human form of life. This is miraculous. He at least gets a human form of life. And that's Durlabham. Vindadas has a song, how rare is this human form of life. Just that, Agyat Sukriti, almost unknowing devotional service, guarantees one at least a human form of life. For one, again, gets the opportunity to taste prasadam, again, gets the opportunity to inquire about Krishna consciousness, or hear or chant the Maha Mantra. So powerful is the process. Whereas if one is advanced in material life, he's one of the 10 most successful people in the world. Moment of death, everything is lost. All his wealth, his prestige, his fame, mundane education is lost, and there's no guarantee that next lifetime he may even take a human birth. Because in this world, by the force of the modes of nature, one may perform good and bad deeds. No one is all good, no one is all bad. It's all a mixture. So it's very precarious. So the path of Krishna consciousness can save us from the greatest calamity. And that is to not have the human form of life whereby we can inquire about Krishna consciousness and begin going back home, back to Godhead. But the Lord is especially kind to his devotees. He's especially kind to his devotees that whatever progress they make, he ensures they can continue that progress by putting them in a situation where they don't have to struggle like most people do in this world, even to just meet the basic demands of the body. People are struggling, even nowadays, if not more so, for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. We spend 99% of our time, people do. So much so that a book distributor on the street, the phenomenon is often that he comes across, he offers a book to someone and they say, "I'm sorry, I have no time." They're walking, you know, at lunchtime between offices and they can't even take 5 minutes to hear or inquire about the absolute truth. So busy meeting the basic needs of the body. So Krishna is very kind. He says here that he places the unsuccessful yogi, meaning his devotee, in a home of aristocracy. Aristocracy means there's plenty of money, there's plenty of opportunity for education, there's good medical facility, relevant to that time, place, and circumstance. So that person's not bothered, he doesn't have to struggle, and he can, if he's serious, finish up the course of Krishna consciousness in this lifetime and go back to Godhead. But in a special case, and what is a special case? It means that one has been practicing yoga for a very long time. Prabhupada notes in the purports here. One who's just beginning yoga, he may take that type of birth in an aristocratic family. But better is to take family birth in a family of transcendentalists who are verily rich in wisdom, the real wealth. So those who've been practicing yoga a long time and just need a little touch, a little bit of sadhu sangha, harinam kirtan, prasad, so forth, the Lord places them in that family of transcendentalists, where they imbibe the spirit of Krishna consciousness at a very young age and a much better chance for finishing up in this lifetime. Bhaktivinoda Thakura has stated that Krishna consciousness is something that we imbibe from another devotee or other devotees. It's not like going to school and learning all the books and learning all the verses and mechanically applying that knowledge in a job. It's something you get through. You imbibe it. It's a sense of spirit, devotion. It's like an infection you get from another devotee or group of devotees. So to be born in a family, devotees, is a very rare thing. And those who have those devotee parents in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness who have fathered young boys like this or young girls, they have a very serious responsibility. But that jivatma, that soul, that yogi, that devotee, who is not just a little boy or a little girl, but was previously a wise old sage, perhaps, just on the verge of perfecting, or not far from perfecting Krishna consciousness, they've taken birth in your family by the arrangement of the Lord, and it's your duty to do everything possible to help them on the path of Krishna consciousness, so that in this lifetime they can go back home, back to Godhead. And so it is with with Sri Devi, I feel very strongly that her parents, Radha Krishna Das and Nishkama Devi Dasi, they're disciples of Sri Dayananda Maharaj and Shiksha disciples of Radha Govinda Maharaj, very sincere devotees, very good devotees, very nice devotional qualities, and their house is like a temple. They have deities and so forth and so on. They've done an excellent job in bringing Sri Devi to the point of her initiation. So in these situations, when I'm initiating children, because, you know, we're in our 60s now, so they're all little kids and they grew up and now they're 19, 20, 25, like that. I always feel that I'm just adding the finishing touches on the painting. It's like you have a painting and then it's almost done, but then you look at it a little while, a little bit here, a little bit there, and you add the finishing touches. Or in the old days, there would be education, but the final part of the education, you'd send the boy or girl to finishing school, where they learn to be ladies and gentlemen. They don't do that anymore. How to dress nicely, how to talk nicely, how to serve nicely, how to prepare food nicely, like that. That actually is Krishna consciousness. So they brought her to this point. So I'm just adding the finishing touches. Of course, I know they're very grateful that I'm initiating her and my other very wonderful disciples here today. But Prabhupada noted in his, I believe it's his introduction or the acknowledgments in the Krishna book, that he notes how his training in Krishna consciousness began with his mother and his father in particular. He imbibed the spirit of Krishna consciousness from his parents, and it was later, he imbibed the spirit of Krishna consciousness from his father, and that spirit of Krishna consciousness was later solidified by his eternal father and master, Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribhachakacharya Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's something like that. We're passing the baton. You know, in the Olympic race, they have that relay where someone runs and they pass the baton on the baton. So like this, they've done such a wonderful job, and now I'm taking that spirit that she has imbibed in her youth, and we'll be working on that to perfect her Krishna consciousness so that in this lifetime she can go back home, back to Godhead. So because this whole ceremony came about as a result of her strong desire to be initiated, my desire to initiate her, and finally the consent of her parents, who know her best, they felt that she was finally ready. I thought I would speak a few words, especially thanking Radha Krishna Das and Nishkama Devi Dasi. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.